And welcome to Focus on the Delaware Valley. I'm Laura Lewis, and with us we have Charles Buschillo. He is the president and CEO of the Alzheimer's Foundation of America. And actually, welcome back.
Well, thanks so much for having me back.
It's been about a year, I think we decided, before we began taping this morning, that since you were last on here. And since then, we've seen celebrities revealing diagnoses of forms of dementia. We've seen news releases about possible new treatments. Has this been a busy time for the Alzheimer's Foundation?
It's very busy. You know, Laura, there's greater awareness of this disease and what's going on throughout the world with new research and therapies that have been approved by the FDA. And you're right, some celebrities have, families have come out and talked about the battles they're facing with Alzheimer's disease as well. So it's heightening the awareness. And, you know, the calls to our helpline, which is open 7 days a week Eastern Standard Time from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m., have increased dramatically. So our services and programs have increased too, and we're traveling throughout the entire country now providing education and support services.
A little bit later on, we're going to be talking about an upcoming Philadelphia educational conference that's coming here on the 15th of November. When I mentioned celebrities, I think everybody first thinks of Bruce Willis and his diagnosis of, I believe it's prefrontal dementia, which makes us wonder, what exactly is Alzheimer's? Is this an umbrella now that includes many different conditions?
It does. So Alzheimer's disease, you know, there's always a confusion, Laura, between what is Alzheimer's and what is dementia. So Alzheimer's is a disease itself. It's a progressive brain disorder that impacts an individual's thinking, language skills, memory, and the ability to carry out a simple task. It's dementia itself is not a disease, but a terminology that's used to describe a combination of symptoms, loss of intellectual functions, loss of judgment, and loss of memory.
But that sounds very much similar. Is it because there are different causes that they are distinguished?
Yes, and no, because Alzheimer's is the disease, dementia is not. It's, again, a combination of symptoms that will most likely affect the individual's intellectual functions for daily life habits. And that's, you know, that's something that we always try to clarify with individuals. But what's important is that people recognize the signs and symptoms of Alzheimer's disease.
And so let's start with that then. What are the signs?
So, you know, everybody's unique. Everybody's different. But the most common signs, we'd like to say warning signs, of Alzheimer's disease is let's start with memory loss. So names, places, new information, current events you're forgetting, confusion about places and times where you've been, difficulty in judging situations, changes in your personality or moods, and trouble finding the appropriate words, for example, in a sentence. You know, how many times do you hear he or she finishes their sentences, you know, as they may get older? Struggle to complete a little task such as brushing your teeth every day. So when you see these signs, you should never try to cover up for a loved one or a friend and say, oh, they're just getting older and they're busy, they're forgetting things. And the reason I emphasize that, Laura, is because not all memory loss is attributed to Alzheimer's disease. You can have a vitamin deficiency, suffering from depression, alcoholism, a thyroid issue. Those are all treatable, if not correctable, but you need to address them. So if you see the signs of somebody that is experiencing a memory loss or confusion about time and place, address it immediately.
I think we all know someone who changes medications or receives a different medication, and those are some of the symptoms that you get from that alone. Yeah,
exactly. But know the side effects of the medication that you're taking. And if you're experiencing them or you are experiencing anything that you just mentioned, call your primary care physician, call the doctor that prescribed those medications. Let them know immediately what you're experiencing.
So one of my questions was, what's the difference between Alzheimer's as it develops and normal aging? Do we forget or do we lose words or grow a little confused as we age naturally?
The answer is yes. You know, our brains do tend to shrink as we get older, but Alzheimer's disease is not a normal part of aging, and that needs to be, you know, clarified, because so many people think, oh, you just get older, you're going to get Alzheimer's disease. It's not a normal part of aging. You know, you really need to participate, you know, in one of our educational conferences, you know, gain greater knowledge about this disease, but also living a healthy lifestyle is really an important factor that individuals need to carry throughout their entire life.
Oh, great. We have to plan for our 80s while we're still enjoying our 20s, right?
Why not?
Well,
you know, that's important, what you had just said, because, you know, you think about when we were in elementary school and they, you know, they say exercise 30 minutes, make sure you eat right, make sure you don't drink, make sure you don't smoke. That's something you need to carry throughout your entire life to prepare for your 80s.
How common is this actually? And who is more likely, or can you say someone is more likely to develop Alzheimer's?
Well, more than two-thirds of the individuals suffering from Alzheimer's disease throughout this country are women. You know, in your state alone, there's more than 280,000 people in Pennsylvania that are living with this disease, and throughout the nation, more than 6.2 million people. And those numbers, unfortunately, are expected to grow every single year in the absence of any new significant therapies or a cure.
Wait, let's back that up, though. Is that because there are more women over a certain age?
Yes. Lifestyles, family patterns. There's so many factors that play into that.
Well, what I was asking was, because women tend to live longer, could that explain some of it? Or does, and I'm going to include race in this, does race and gender play into who's going to develop Alzheimer's?
Those can be part of the social determinants that can affect who's living or who's at greater risk for Alzheimer's disease, you know, and that's the disparity that, you know, always needs to be discussed. Why are more women suffering from Alzheimer's disease? But do social determinants play a role in this? Absolutely. Income level, education, educational level, geographic location, where you live. And, you know, some of these social determinants have a significant impact on women generally.
And then that, of course, then applies to low income or other communities.
Access for health care is always a consideration of the factors of Alzheimer's disease, geographical locations, where you live, what you're exposed to in the environment also play a factor as well.
What about genetics? Because
genetics play a small percentage, but yeah, it's there. But, you know, there's no guarantee that if somebody in your family has Alzheimer's disease, you're going to get it. Genetics do play a very small percentage.
Is that true for, and now I'm going back to my original question, are there different forms of Alzheimer's?
There are many different forms of Alzheimer's. We're going to need a longer show than to go into that with this. But what's important is that individuals recognize the signs and the symptoms. And, you know, if you don't mind, I just want to emphasize that again. If you see somebody experiencing memory loss, a loved one or a friend, of recent events, confusion about time and place, difficulty in judging certain situations, or their change in moods and personalities, address it immediately. Don't, you know, use excuses to cover up for a loved one or a friend.
And here we start back to that aging. If there are different types of Alzheimer's, there's early onset as well, where you see someone as young as, I do believe, is it in the 30s?
So we have seen individuals, yeah, we have worked with families whose loved ones have been in their 30s. There are stages, you know, of it, early, middle, and late stages of Alzheimer's disease, and we classify them as mild, moderate, and severe. So the early stages, in this stage, individuals may forget words, misplace objects, forget something they just read, not remember names when meeting, have an increased trouble making a plan or organize and asking the question over and over and over. The middle stage increases memory loss and confusion, problems recognizing friends and families and loved ones, lack of concern of hygiene and appearance, constantly repeating stories or emotions, difficulty in handling tasks of writing a check or personal finance. And then in the late stages, it just becomes more severe. And, you know, this is part of why we always encourage individuals on a routine basis to make sure you see your primary care physician. Because when you get to the late stages, Laura, you're going to not recognize faces. You may recognize faces. You're going to forget their names. You may remember their names on an occasional basis. You could experience delusions. You can mistake a person for somebody else. You know, there's so many different things that go into the factors of these three stages that individuals just need to be aware of. And I'm going to go back to a statement that I've said repeatedly. We recognize so many families that come to us and they'll make a call to us, Laura, to the helpline, which is 866-232-8484. And they'll say, I noticed a change in my loved one. Oh, let me call you back. And then we don't hear from them for 6 months. And they say, oh, well, we wish we did this. Because they're covering for a loved one. You know, they're filling in the sentences. But life changes, and so you just need to address this, because there's things you can do to change your lifestyle. There's things you can do to plan financial and health, you know, aspects of your life that are important while you're still able to do it.
Okay, so I had a two-part question. Are we seeing more cases of early onset? And is early diagnosis helpful in that there are possible treatments versus financial planning and directives?
So what you're seeing is a greater awareness and public visibility of this disease. Doctors are becoming more educated. The public is becoming more educated about the disease. And they're also seeing services like the Alzheimer's Foundation of America that provides support to caregivers and families. Are the numbers increasing? Yes. Are we seeing new therapies? There have been new therapies that slow down the progression. But I will tell you, Laura, for us here at the Alzheimer's Foundation of America, we do fund research all over the world. For us, we need to get to the finish line and find a cure for this disease.
Well, by finding a cure, that implies you know what is a cause. Do you know what it is?
There's theories out there. Some researchers believe it's the amyloid plaque theories. Others don't. So there's a battle with research. There's also for money to find a cure. There's research, clinical trials going on throughout this entire country, throughout the entire world on a constant basis. Again, we've had some breakthroughs where the FDA has approved new drugs, most recently this year and last year, that will slow the progression. We were hopeful that with a combination of other new therapies, it will have a greater significant impact for those that are suffering from early onset.
Is diagnosis, real diagnosis, possible? I remember years and years ago, the first time I had ever heard of it was that it was something that you diagnosed after the fact. Are there tests now that say, yes, this is Alzheimer's?
You know, there are tests. There are memory screenings. There are MRIs that are done to map the amyloid plaque. There are memory screenings, which we do here, but we do it in a different format, a very brief format that gives you a baseline score. But yes, the neurologists and the researchers, and there are so many facilities throughout the country that can do a diagnosis. Do you honestly know when somebody has it? Generally, historically, it's when the person passes away and they do an autopsy on the brain. But now, through greater technology, they're able to determine whether there's plaque or not. And that's what some of these new therapies are doing, Laura. They're clearing out the amyloid plaque, and that's critically important.
Research. Let's really quickly talk about the foundation itself. And if you are just joining us, by the way, my guest today is the president and CEO of the Alzheimer's Foundation of America, Charles Fouché. If you'd like to learn more about what they do and all of their programming, etc., the place to go, ALZFDN.org. Think Alzheimer's Foundation, ALZFDN.org. And he did allude to a phone number. You can call them. It's a 7-day-a-week business hour phone line. It's a helpline and information resource, 866-232-8484. That's 866-232-8484. Let's talk about the foundation now and your mission and what you are trying to do for this vast population, which is unfortunately growing.
Oh, we were founded 21 years ago by a caregiver who back in the 80s and 90s, Mr. Bert Brodsky, and he's our board chairman, was caring for his mom. And at that time, Laura, he really had no place to turn to for any guidance, counseling, or support. And he just, went away and on his own way to determine what was right and what was wrong. But he experienced so much frustration that so many caregivers do today. You know, he would be talking to his mom in the kitchen, walk out, come back, and she would yell at him and say, where have you been? I haven't seen you in weeks and months. And he would yell back, not knowing, that she was suffering from this disease. So when she passed away, he thought long and hard, what can I do to ensure that nobody goes on this journey alone? And that's why he founded the Alzheimer's Foundation of America. And our focus is care, education, and research. And first and foremost is to support the families and caregivers and provide support services that are for individuals that are affected by this disease.
One of the most heartbreaking personal experiences was a friend of mine. His wife was diagnosed in her 40s. And she said, boy, I'm sorry, because when we're going to the end of this, I won't know what's happening, but you will. And the caregiving aspect of their life was just horrendous.
And that's exactly what Mr. Brodsky had gone through. He always says, look, I would have these discussions with my mom. I would get frustrated. I would get, agitated myself. And I would yell back at her, what are you talking about? I've been here. I've never left you. I just walked out of the room. And then he realized, maybe minutes later she would forget about it. But for him, he developed these emotional scars and some guilt. And that's why he wanted to ensure that people were educated about this disease, that they had the support for caregivers, whether it's through our helpline here or through support groups or educational initiatives, that they become better aware of what the person is experiencing and how to deal with it.
This is November, and this is Alzheimer's Awareness Month. And is it more for those caregivers or for the people who are living with it as the person diagnosed?
Both. That's what's really important, that we recognize that, the emotional and physical stress of a caregiver can be overwhelming. And obviously, the person living with the disease. So you need to provide support to both individuals to ensure that first the caregiver avoids caregiver burnout, takes care of themselves, and that's through an educational process. And also somebody who may be experiencing this disease, we'd like them, to know about the disease, what steps that they may be going through, and what they can do to help work with the family and plan with the family.
This is part of a discussion on caregiving, but are we ready for the sheer numbers of future diagnoses? Is the insurance industry ready for it? Are we ready with care and facilities?
Well, listen, we're getting a lot better, but the federal government, in my opinion, needs to step up and increase the funding for Alzheimer's research. Right now, it's a little bit more than $3.3 billion that they provide for research. This is a national, pandemic, a national healthcare crisis. When you have over 6 million people living with this disease, I'd like to see $5 billion appropriated. And I know that's a lot of money, but a trial alone could cost $800 million to $1 billion. So you need more money for research. Are we prepared? We're constantly striving here at AFA to do greater outreach and awareness of this disease and to be there for the families.
To me, $3.2 billion doesn't even sound like what the current care for those 6 million living with it would
cost. Oh, this is
my math is terrible. But
$1 billion a cost for caring for individuals throughout this country.
And we're not ready for it.
Most are unpaid. Also, here's what we do. It's an interesting statement that you make. Are we prepared for this or not? So we tackle this at the young age. We have college chapters throughout the country, and we provide them with education and awareness of this disease, and they become ambassadors for us. And we have a great emphasis on that you're never too young to learn about this disease or what it takes to be a caregiver. We provide scholarships to high school seniors throughout the nation. Every year we do this contest, and we ask them to 1,500 words or less, how has Alzheimer's disease impacted your life? And last year we had about 2,000 entries, and we provided over $400,000 in scholarships. So we start this early with individuals in high schools, and we hopefully carry it through college, that they stay with us in their chapters, and afterwards, they become ambassadors to AFA, and they create a greater awareness and understanding of the disease, but also about caregivers. Because Laura, at some point in our lives, for whatever it is, we're going to be a caregiver.
We are. Now, let's go into the educational part of that. And is that educating your peers, the medical profession? Is that educating us to live better and healthier? Is it your, I know that you have a memory screening program, I do believe. Is that also to educate us about what's coming or what we should be preparing for?
So we also have a training division through AFA that we provide dementia training, certification. We provide continuing education to licensed social workers throughout the entire country. We have an online learning management system. We do it in person as well throughout the country. We train professionals and non-professionals in the field of Alzheimer's disease. We train caregivers. We train law enforcement officials. We've done trainings with TSA, with corporations and their employees. So whatever we can do to properly equip individuals to know about this disease and what the signs are and how to care for somebody, we're going to be there. Memory screening is something that we started an initiative more than 10 years ago. It's what we'd like to call, Laura, a checkup from the neck up. It's a series of questions. It takes 10 to 15 minutes. We do it virtually through here, the offices at AFA. We do it in person. We have screening sites throughout the country as well. But you go through a series of questions, and after you get a baseline score. Nothing different than your routine checkup every year where you do certain tests and you get a baseline score. With this, you get a baseline score. If you score above it, we tell you to take the test within a year again. If you score below it, we make certain recommendations. But what's important is you're addressing any memory issues as early as possible.
I'm going to ask again, if you do find out or as early as possible, is that because you can take steps to maintain what you have as long as possible, or are we talking about treatments at that point?
Depending on the results, but can we also change our lifestyle at any point? Absolutely. Can we all eat better? Sure. We emphasize 10 steps for healthy aging on our website. The first one is eat well. Make sure you're eating foods that are rich in fiber, a low-fat diet. Stick to your fruits and vegetables. Take daily vitamins. Limit the intake of red meat and fried and processed foods. Then we say stay active. Physical activity increases the blood flow to the brain. Go exercise, walk 30 minutes a day. Do it at lunch if you're working, or do it before you go to work. Learn new things. Ballroom dancing from head to toe, the greatest thing for you, and it's fun. Obviously, something that we all struggle with, get enough sleep. Mind your medication. You brought this up before. If you're experiencing side effects, then talk to your doctor. Stop smoking, limit alcohol, stay connected. Social interaction, maintaining an active social life, is so critically important for a healthy brain and cognitive stimulation. Know your blood pressure, see your doctor, and then number 10, what we just talked about, get a memory screening. It's that simple.
I bet a lot of people are afraid to take that test.
they are. I've taken it myself. It's good to know. It's a good baseline. So at our conferences throughout the country, I know we're going to talk about what's coming up on November 15th, we provide free memory screenings there at the conferences as well. So take advantage of this.
Okay, the more you know. Here we go. You do have that conference coming up, so we really do need to start talking about that. Who should be attending this? And actually, where is it? And how long, et cetera? Just give us the rundown first.
So it's a free Alzheimer's and caregiving conference on Wednesday, November 15th from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. And it's at the DoubleTree by Hilton, the Philadelphia Center. City Hotel, which is on Broad Street in Philadelphia. If anybody wants to register, they can just go to our website, alzfdn.org/tour, or just call the office at 866-232-8484. We started this initiative called Educating America Tour many, many years ago. And every month we travel to a different state, different city throughout the entire country. And we educate people about brain health and wellness, Alzheimer's disease, the future of healthcare. And it's important that people are aware of this. So who should attend? Everybody and anybody who's concerned about their health, concerned about a loved one, concerned about their memory and their cognitive skills.
And does that include, law enforcement professionals, medical professionals?
Yes, and that's generally who attends in the professional field, the caregivers, just people that are caring for loved ones. But individuals just want to learn about Alzheimer's disease, want to take a memory screening. And, you know, we have some great speakers coming up, and I'm really excited about this. And we kick it off with Dr. Weissman, and he's going to talk about Alzheimer's disease therapies. And then we get into the future of healthcare and technology. Attorney Brian Adler is going to be there. And then we talk about riding the roller coaster of caregiving, because that's what it's all about. And we have a director of social work from Penn Memory Center, Allison Lynn. And, you know, we're excited about this. And, you know, Laura, we're going to have the free memory screens. And we're also going to offer continental breakfast before the conference.
You got it all covered there. And again, now, and then the easiest way to do this, too, is just go to the website, alzfdn.org, and there's actually a tab, events, and find the one that is here November 15th at the DoubleTree on Broad Street in Philadelphia. And again, this is a free conference. Caregivers, anyone interested in learning more, or if you just want to go and take advantage of the opportunity to get that baseline memory test, and it's all there November 15th, and this is part of, you said, the Educating America Tour. And you've been rolling through the country for how long, did you say?
We've been doing this for years, but this year we kicked it off in February of this year, and we started off in Arizona. Then we traveled to Atlanta, Georgia, then Irvine, California, Denver, Colorado, Seattle, Washington, Indianapolis, Indiana, New Jersey, St. Louis, Missouri, and this month, Raleigh, North Carolina. And we end this year's conference in your state, in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. And then next year, in February, we kick it off again with 10 more tour dates throughout the country.
Okay. And so you're going to conclude this year's edition. And do you have a tour T-shirt with all those cities on it now?
We have a lot of flyers. And individuals will get a lot of information. But even at the conference, Laura, we created an apartment here at AFA in our offices in New York City. And obviously, everybody can't come here. So we created a film, and it's a 9-minute film about the apartment. What we did is we created a dementia-friendly living environment. We show the film, we do a Q&A about it. We also give them a handbook about everything that's in the apartment. And it shows ways that individuals can create in their own home a dementia-friendly living environment of somebody that they're caring for. So there's a lot that goes on at these conferences. It's really a complete, you know, overall about this disease. But what's equally as important is what services are available.
Are there enough services available for caregivers? Because you alluded to the financial aspects of this, creating an environment that is friendly, burnout. There are just so many areas to talk about there.
There are, but we'll also have local exhibitors from local offices there as well, that individuals can, right in their own backyard, get information.
Okay, and that is, again, November 15th, DoubleTree on Broad Street. I hate to say it, we are out of time, and I was going to ask a question, but I think, unfortunately, it's time to just say, what is the takeaway for this? What should we be thinking, doing, considering, or worrying about? Bring us home.
I will bring you home. If you're concerned about yourself, your own memory, or a loved one, make the call. Pick up the phone. The calls are confidential. Call the AFA helpline at 866-232-8484. It gives you an opportunity to speak to a licensed social worker that is dementia specifically trained.
And again, for if you're worried and you have questions, your website is a wonderful resource as well.
Just go to that, alzfdn.org. There's also a chat icon there. We can chat with individuals in 90 different languages as well. So we want to make sure that language is not a barrier for seeking help.
And that's where we can also find those 10 tips for aging healthy.
Absolutely.
So it's all there at alzfdn.org. Everything that we talked about, plus you can register for the November 15th, the final stop on the Educating America Tour. It will be here in Philadelphia on November 15th. It is free, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. It is open to everyone. Anyone who has an interest in this, a concern, this is the place to go. And remember, you get all the information at alzfdn.org. The helpline number, you can find it there as well, but it is 866-232-8484. My guest today, Charles Fuscillo. He is the president and CEO of the Alzheimer's Foundation of America. Thank you, sir. Thanks for coming back.
Thanks so much for having me on.
You are always welcome back here. I'm Laura Lewis. This has been Focus on the Delaware Valley.